morning reading from Canto 3, Srimad Bhagavatam, Chapter 5, Vidura's Talks with Maitreya, text number 2. So the verse is on the board. Kindly repeat after me.
Každý v tomto světě se zaměstnává plodnostnými činnostmi, aby dosáhl štěstí, ale nezískává ani nasycení, ani úlevu v neštěstí. Naopak je těmito činnostmi pouze roztrpčen. Dej nám prosím pokyny, jak má člověk žít pro skutečné štěstí. Význam. Vidura položil Maitrejovi několik obyčejných otázek, což původně nebylo jeho záměrem. Buddha mu poradil, aby vyhledal Maitreya Muniho a od něho se nechal seznámit se všemi pravdami ohledně pána, jeho jména, slávy, vlastností, podoby, zábav, doprovodu a tak dále. A proto, když Vidura nalezl Maitreyu, měl se odtát pouze na pána. V přirozené pokory se však nechal na pána hned, ale nejprve si chval na věci, které mohly mít větší význam pro obyčejného člověka. Obyčejný člověk nemůže chápat pána. Musí nejprve znát skutečnou situaci svého života pod vlivem iluzorní energie. Iluzi si člověk myslí, že může být šťastný jedině plodonosnými činnostmi, ale ve skutečnosti se tak více a více zaplétá do sítě akcí a reakcí a nenalézá pro svůj životní problém žádné řešení. V této souvislosti existuje jedna pěkná píseň. Z velké touhy dosáhnout všeho životního štěstí jsem si postavil tento dům. Všechny plány mi však zhořily na prach, protože dům spálil nenadálý požár. Takový je zákon přírody. Každý se snaží být šťastný plánováním v hmotném světě, ale zákon přírody je tak krutý, že jeho plány spálí na prach. Vodoštivý pracovník tak není ve svých plánech šťastný a jeho neustála touha po štěstí se nikdy nenasí.
Vidur uvaču sukhaya kurmani kurutti loko natai sukam vanyad uparamam va vindeta buyas tata eva dukam yuratra yuktam bhagavan vidinnaha hukam kuruti vachalam magam nangahe tegrim yad kripa daram mande shri gurundina tadunam. So this word sukha means happiness. So here we read sukhaya karmani, that there is the attempt to attain happiness by karma, by material activity. In the scriptures mention also Brahma sukha. Brahma Sokhyam. This is transcendental happiness. So in the Karmani Sukha, the happiness of material activity, one is pursuing pleasure in terms of the three modes of material nature. And this results in a pleasure which is called saṃsāra sukha, the enjoyment of saṃsāra, repeated birth and death.
Výsledkem tohoto je radost, která se říká samsára sukha, neboli opakované rozumění a smrti.
Because these modes of nature that one pursues are always changing, always turning.
Protože ty kvality hmotné přírody, s kterými je člověk ve styku, se neustále mění.
Sometimes one is thinking that happiness means happiness as it is understood in mode of goodness.
Někdy může být štěstí považováno je to štěstí, které v kvalitě dobrá.
And then with the force of time that conceptions change and one is looking for happiness in the conception of passion.
V průběhu času se to pojetí může změnit a člověk vyhledává štěstí v kvalitě pášení.
And again with the change of time one thinks happiness is found in the mode of ignorance.
A opět v průběhu doby někdo může zjistit, že štěstí v kvalitě nevědomosti.
So as one engages his senses to attain these conceptions of happiness, he becomes captured by the gunas or by the ropes of material nature.
Když se člověk snaží získat toto štěstí v těch různých kvalitách, tak je uchycen nebo zamotán do provazů gun hmotné přírody.
These gunas are turned by time, by the wheel of time. So one is captured by the gunas, then that means he is tied to the wheel of time.
Tyto provazy, tyto guny se mění v průběhu doby času a znamená to, že člověk je svázan v kole času.
And thus he is moved through the cycle of samsara.
A tímto způsobem se pohybuje v kruhu samsara.
So there is some sukh, some pleasure there. But that sukha is like a little sugary sprinkling on the main preparation, which is birth, old age, disease, and death.
Takové jemné pocukrování na té hlavní, na tom hlavním chodu, čímž je rození, smrt, stáří a
nemoc. This is the real meaning of samsara.
To je skutečně význam samsáry.
So the sukha is just a little sugary sprinkling. Just like if someone serves you something obnoxious.
Takže ta sukha je jenom jako troška pocukrování. Jako když vám někdo předkládá něco ošklivého.
Some very nasty, distressful food stuff, or something which he says is food stuff.
Když vám někdo dává něco opravdu nechutného, nechutné jídlo, což ten člověk nazývá za jídlo.
Perhaps it is stool mixed with broken glass.
Jdeme tomu, že to je trus.
But on the top, they put some sugar. So does that little coating of sugar make it enjoyable? No, it remains what it actually is. Nasty, disgusting, and very painful. That is material life.
Ošklivé, nechutné, takový je hmotný život.
But because this endeavor to enjoy these modes of nature is arising out of ahamkara, false ego.
Úsilí mít požitek z kvalit hmotné přírody vychází z ahankáry, neboli falešného ega.
See? It's arising from a separate conception of happiness than Krishna's.
Vychází to z odděleného pojetí štěstí, které je oddělené od Krishnova.
So even though it is so, actually so nasty and distressing, still the living entity becomes very attached to that separate endeavor.
Ačkoliv je to tak nesmírně ošklivé, ta živá bytost vyvíjí nebo má pouto k tomuto odloučenému úsilí.
He is very attached to the conception, I am Purusha, I am the enjoyer.
je velice poután k pojetí, já jsem poruša, já jsem poživatel.
I am independent.
Já jsem nezávislý.
I am free to do as I like.
Mám svobodu dělat, co se mi zachce.
So, in this way, Bhagavatam describes that the materialistic mind becomes very inflated, or we use the term puffed up. It becomes, yes, inflated, very blown up with big ideas.
Bhagavatam popisuje, že taková materialistická mysl je nafouknutá, vesmírně nafouknutá.
Materialistic mind is very proud that I have these senses. Two types of senses are knowledge acquiring and active senses.
Materialistická mysl je velice pyšná na to, že má dva druhy smyslu. Smysly, s kterými získává poznání, a smysly
knowledge acquiring and active. And I, the mind, am the center of these senses. I am their controller. They're serving me.
Já mysl jsem středem těchto smyslů a oni mi slouží.
So, in this way, Bhagavatam describes the mind. This is a verse by Maharishi Shabdev. The mind becomes like a big wild elephant.
Maharishi Shabdev říká Bhagavatam, že mysl je jako velký divoký slon.
Chito bir, akuti bir, with his senses, surcharged with enthusiasm to enjoy material nature, this mind is like nirankusham kushalam. Like a big elephant which is running uncontrolled through the forest.
Mysl, která je nabitá energií použít nebo vyžívat se v hmotné přírodě, je nekontrolovatelná jako ten divoký slon.
So, Snor, stand up. His nickname is Snor. Instead of Gore. So, wild elephant in the jungle seems very formidable. How can you defeat a mad bull elephant?
Divoký slon v džungli se jeví nepřekonatelný. Nemůžeme porazit velkého slona.
See? This is the materialistic mind. He's thinking, who can defeat me?
Taková materialistická mysl, ta si myslí, kdo mě může porazit.
I have my powerful active senses.
Já mám mocné činné nebo aktivní smysly.
My arms and my legs and my other active senses for propelling me forward, so that I can capture any sense object I want.
Moje ruce, moje nohy a moje ostatní aktivní smysly, které mi mohou pomoci získat cokoliv chci.
And I have my strong knowledge acquiring senses.
A také mám silné smysly získávání poznání.
Elephant also has big ears, his big nose. So in this way, I'm always alert to see where there is sense gratification and also where there is danger. So I am so nicely equipped for success in my endeavors. No one can stand in my way. I'm so powerful, I'm so intelligent. If anyone tries to oppose me, I'll just sweep them from the path.
jsem tak mocný, jsem tak inteligentní, dokoliv si mi stoupne do cesty světuho.
I'll just trample them underfoot.
Zašlapnu ho nohou.
For I am the big elephant sense gratifier.
Neboť já jsem ten velký slon požitnář.
But there's a very easy way to defeat a raging, mad bull elephant.
Ale existuje velice snadný způsob, jak zvládnout velkého slonního samce.
In India, South India, where there are still many elephants, they know this art very well. They dig a pit, a deep pit in the earth, in the forest. And they put over the pit some straw, some branches. So that the hole is covered. And behind the pit, they chain up one female elephant. So the mad bull elephant in the jungle, he smells the female elephant. Ah, there she is. Now I will enjoy. And he comes running full speed towards her. And he's trumpeting with his long nose. But as soon as he approaches her, he steps into the trap and falls headlong into the hole. And he's captured. And they put him to work. So similarly, as Srila Prabhupada is mentioning in this purport, the materialistic mind may, as described here, try to make his home in this material world happy home of sense pleasure.
Jak Šnád Prabhupád zde popisuje, tak materialistická mysl se snaží udělat hmotný domov, plný požitku zde hmotné světě.
But ultimately, that happy home becomes a source of great distress.
Ale v konečném slova smyslu se ten šťastný domov stane zdrojem zármutku.
One becomes entrapped in this way by the unforeseen results of karmic activity.
Člověk se zamotá do karmických reakcí, které se nedají předvídat.
Just like the elephant falling into the hole, falling into the pit.
Tak jako ten slon, který spadne do jámy.
So, Maya uses sense pleasure, the promise of sense gratification, as the bait to catch the living entity in the trap, just as much as to catch a fish. Now the fisherman puts bait on the hook.
Takže Maya používá smyslový požitek jako návnadu, aby chytila živou bytost, tak jako rybář dává návnadu na háček.
And because of being so foolishly attached to sense pleasure, the fish snaps at the bait and is hooked and pulled up to the surface and killed.
Protože ryba tak silně touží po smyslovém požitku, tak kousne do té návnady, je chytne se na ten hák, je vytážená na břeh a zabita.
So the most effective bait is, of course, the principal form of sense gratification, which is sexual enjoyment.
Nejúčinnější formou návnady je hlavní princip bezmyslového požitku a to je pohlavní požitek.
Mm-hmm. Last night we read in Chaitanya Charitamrita the pastime of Srila Haridas Thakur and the attempted seduction of him by the prostitute.
Minulou noc jsme četli o Haridasovi Thakurovi a o tom, jak na něho byl učiněn pokus ho svést.
We read in the purport Srila Prabhupada's explanation how in India, where the culture is Vedic culture, the sexual relationships between men and women is restricted.
Četli jsme ve výkladu, jak v Indii je pohlavní styk mezi mužem a ženou omezen.
Because in Vedic culture, they know very well that this is Maya's bait to hook the soul, capture him.
Protože se jedná o vědskou kulturu, tak tam vědí, že toto je způsob, jakým je Maya, jakým Maya uchvátí duši.
Bind him to the wheel of time. Where he'll be dragged from birth to death endlessly. Maybe you've seen there was an old Charlie Chaplin film called Modern Times. So Charlie Chaplin is working in a factory. And in this, it's a very huge factory, and there are many big gears turning in the machinery. So in one scene, Charlie Chaplin gets caught by these gears, and you see him being spun through all the works of the machine. So this is a very good analogy for material life, for life in the cycle of birth and death. So one gets pulled into the machinery of material nature by this bait of sense gratification, especially sex life. So therefore, in Vedic culture, sexual relationships are very much restricted. Because Vedic culture is a culture dedicated to the liberation of the living entity from repeated birth and death. Therefore, as we read last night, although there were prostitutes in Vedic culture, that was a very restricted profession, only meant for a certain low-class type of person who cannot control his senses. But nowadays, we see that illicit sex, prostitution, is everywhere. It has actually become normal, the normal mode of behavior in modern life.
Prostituce se stalo normálním chováním, stalo se to součástí života.
when we were in Hungary, driving down the highway in the middle of the country somewhere, we stopped the car by the roadside to take prasad. But then from the side of the road came one prostitute. Apparently, they have girls on the side of the highway to sell their bodies to truck drivers.
Oni tam umístí prostitutky na dálnice, aby prodávali svá těla řidičům nákladních aut.
So she came up to our car and she was smiling, saying, "Sex?" No, no need of translation. Okay. So we had to leave that place. So I was very surprised to see how common this dirty business has become. Just like on the roadside, there are kiosks for buying cigarettes and wine. Now they have on the roadside prostitute.
Mm-hmm.
And even if a woman of today is not formally engaged in sex for money, the classical business of prostitution, the level of morality has sunken so low that practically even ordinary women, they behave, they dress like prostitutes. So in this way we see the whole of modern society has fallen into that deep pit, that elephant trap of the material nature. And they're very happy to be there. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati used to illustrate this point by telling a humorous story. A conversation between a drunkard and a saintly brahmana. So the brahmana was advising the drunkard that, don't you know, by this drinking of alcohol, you will have to go to hell. So the drunkard, he replied by mentioning names of some important men in the town who also drink.
Ten opilec odpověděl tím, že vyjmenovával jména důležitých osob z města.
The drunkard said, "Well, Surin Babu, he drinks."
On řekl, no a tož co, Surin Babu, on taky pije.
And the Brahmin said, "Then he will also go to hell."
Tak Brahmin odpověděl, tak on také půjde do pekla.
Then the drunkard said, "Well, Barun Babu, he drinks too." Brahmana replied, he will also go to hell. Arun Babu drinks. He will also go to hell. And then the drunkard, he became a little thoughtful. The Brahmana thought, now maybe I'm getting somewhere with him. Maybe he's starting to wise up. The drunkard then asked, what other activities cause one to fall into hell? And the Brahmana said, gambling, meat eating, illicit sex. And then the drunkard, he was very thoughtful now. And then he said, does that mean that Bhamani was the famous prostitute in town, will Bhamani also go to hell? And Brahman said, of course. And then the drunkard said, and will all the other prostitutes in the world go to hell? Brahmana said, yes. Then the drunkard said, then who would not want to go to hell? It must be a wonderful place. All these important men who drink and gamble and eat whatever they like and beautiful prostitutes. Yes, I want to immediately go to hell. So, this is the state of modern society. They don't care. If we preach like that, you will go to hell. They go, so what? Very nice. Let me go. All my friends will go too. We'll have a good time there. We're drinking and gambling and doing nonsense here. We can do it there too. So for one who is serious about life, who understands that material life is actually suffering, then what is he to do in such a society? Someone asked Srila Prabhupada, may I go to the forest and chant Hare Krishna? We read last night how Srila Haridas Thakur was staying in a lonely place in the forest and chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra all day and all night. But we also read in the purport, Srila Prabhupada said, one should not attempt to do this unless one can chant 300,000 names of God every day. That's about 196 rounds. It's interesting to note, you might have noticed the Bengali verses describing Haridas Thakur's chanting. The verses called this, his chanting, Sankirtan.
Bengalské verše popisují způsob Haridasova zpívání, lingáštine to bolo nazvané Sankirtan.
Now you may wonder, why Haridas Thakur, why his chanting, which was being done alone in the forest, is called Sankirtan. We understand Sankirtan to mean congregational chanting.
Môžete si zamyslieť, proč jeho osamocené zpívání je nazvalo Sankirtan, což v skutečnosti znamená zborové zpívání.
But the word Sankirtan is a combination of two words, Samak and Kirtan. So Kirtan we know, that means to chant the holy name of the Lord, to glorify the Lord. Samak has a double meaning. So Samak can indicate a Kirtan in a group of devotees coming together. It has that aspect, but also Samak means total or complete.
Samak může znamenat ve společnosti oddaný a také to může znamenat úplný dokonalý.
So Haridas Thakur's chanting of 196 rounds a day is called Sankirtan. Why? Because he was totally absorbed in the holy name of Krishna. And thus his chanting was so potent that he was spreading the glories of the holy name throughout society, even though he was hidden deep within a forest. It is said that there are three levels of chanting Hare Krishna. Or actually, I have to rephrase this. There are three levels of Vaishnavas. So, the first or lowest level, that a Vaishnava is a person who chants Hare Krishna out of so many people who never glorify the holy name of the Lord. If you find one who says the name Krishna, he may be called a Vaishnava. And then, higher definition, higher understanding is a Vaishnava is one who chants the holy name of the Lord constantly. And highest definition is a Vaishnava is one who just by his sight, just by his presence, his appearance in society, can make everybody else chant Hare Krishna.
A ještě vyšší definice je, že pouze pohledem na Vaishnavu, na toho nejvyššího Vaishnavu, všichni ostatní taky začnou zpívat.
So that was Srila Haridas Thakur. Simply by his influence, he didn't have to do anything. Simply by the influence of his pure chanting of the holy name, he caused others to take up the chanting of Hare Krishna. So therefore his isolated chanting of Hare Krishna mantra deep in the forest is said in Chaitanya Charitamrita to be Sankirtan. But someone who is not on the level of Haridas Thakur, if he runs away to the forest thinking, oh, this material society is so hellish, let me get away and let me chant Hare Krishna, he will not be able to do sankirtan.
Ale jestliže si někdo myslí, že může jít do lesa, protože tato materialistická skutečnost je tak špatná, tam bude zpívat, tak on nebude dělat sankirtan.
He'll not be able to chant 196 rounds a day. He won't even be able to chant 196 rounds in a week. And thus his commitment to the glorification of the holy name will not be total. He'll not be able to benefit others. And thus, as Prabhupada, when I mentioned someone asked Prabhupada, may I enter the forest and chant Hare Krishna? Srila Prabhupada said, that is only for your own interest. And this attitude to put my own interest first, this is our problem, you see? At the beginning of the lecture I mentioned two conceptions of happiness, and the material conception means separate conception, selfish conception, separate from Krishna.
Na začátku přednášky jsem se zmínil o dvou pojetí štěstí. A to první štěstí je, že je oddělené od Krišny, od Krišnových zájmů.
So sankirtan means, as Prabhupada explained to this devotee, sankirtan means to take up Krishna's interest, and Krishna is interested in delivering conditioned souls everywhere.
Sankirtan znamená přijmout Krišnovy zájmy, a Krišnovy zájmy jsou rozšířit sankirtan všude.
One who takes up the sankirtan mission, he is eligible for special mercy, special facility given personally by the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Ten, kdo přijme sankirtan, tak ten se stane hodným, aby obdržel zvláštní milost od nejvyššího pána.
Srila Prabhupada gave the example of this war, state of war. So when there is war, then everyone in society is patriotic. Everybody wants their own country to win the war. But although everyone is a patriot, it's the soldiers who actually go to the front line to fight. They are the ones who are considered the heroes. They are the ones who get the honor. It doesn't mean that others are not patriotic. But the soldiers are actually making a sacrifice of their own well-being for everyone else. So as Prabhupada explained, the soldiers are supplied with everything that they need. Everyone else, they get rationing, you see. It's war, so they can only buy, you see, there are only limited foodstuffs available to them in the marketplace, because everything has to go to the front. Whereas on the front, the soldiers are eating very nicely. Because they need strength to fight. So similarly, one who sacrifices his own self-interest for Krishna is supplied by Krishna with full facility in spiritual life. Full facility means the taste of Brahma Sukha, transcendental pleasure.
Znamená to, že mu dá chuť na Brahma Sukhu, nebo je transcendentální radost.
Because otherwise, how will one be able to move through this hellish society with all of the nasty activities going on? How will one be able to move through such a atmosphere and preach the glories of Krishna and not be influenced by this atmosphere of sense gratification unless that person is experiencing a higher transcendental taste?
Protože jak jinak by si dokázal pohybovat v tom světě plných ošklivých věcí, kdyby nezažíval vyšší transcendentální chuť.
So in order to facilitate the Sankirtan movement, Lord Krishna freely supplies those devotees who have actually surrendered their self-interest to the Lord's interest. He supplies them. So this is the secret to success in spiritual life. When one surrenders his own interests to Krishna's mission, then by Krishna's grace, he sees even this most captivating of all the sense pleasures, the sex life. He sees that for what it really is, as it is described in the Shastras. Tuccha. Tuccha means very insignificant, very nasty.
Ten, kdo se tedy odezdá Krišnově misi, tak Krišnovou milosti vidí smyslové požitky a hlavně potom sexuální požitek jako takový, jaký je, ošklivý a bezvýznamný.
Attraction to enjoy the pleasures of illicit sex is exactly like the attraction of a fly to stool. If you ask the fly, why are you going to stool? He'll say, because it's very nice. He's convinced. But yet we can forgive him because he has such a little brain. Poor little fly. With such a little brain, you cannot know any better. But it is lamentable when a human being shares that same attitude. That stool is very sweet. Maharaj Rishabhdev says, Nayam Deho Kasta, what is it? Nayam Deho Deha Kastam Bhajam Niriloke. You have received this human form of life, so don't throw it away on the pleasures of the vidbuja. Vidbuja, he uses this term, means stool eater. Don't pursue the pleasures that are meant for stool eaters, like hogs and flies, low living entities like this.
Maharaj Rishabhdev říká, že když už si otevřel tu tu lidskou podobu, tak nepronhají v potěšení, které jsou hodná pojídačů trusů, prasatá.
So the human form of life, he says, is meant for tato divyam, jina putra kasatvam. It is meant for transcendental austerity. Tapo means austerity. Divyam means divine. Divine or God-centered austerities.
Říká, že lidský život je učený činnostem tapo divyam. Tapo znamená očíkání divyam, znamená božský neboli se středem, s Bohem ve středu.
Yes. This simply means to surrender one's own self-interest, give it up, and submit to the service of Krishna. That is tapo divyam. That is divine austerity.
Jednoduše to znamená, že se máme zbavit svých vlastních zájmů a odevzdat se zájmům Krishny. To znamená tapo divyam.
Just as one should give up trying to enjoy separately from Krishna, so also should one give up the futile attempt to control one's senses separately from Krishna.
Tak jako bychom se měli vyhnout mít požitek odloučený od Krishny, a podobně bychom se neměli snažit ovládat smysly nezávisle na Krishna.
Krishna is Rishikesh. He is the controller of the senses. So the only possibility of restraining these senses from nasty, low-class pleasures is if we surrender these senses to Krishna completely. So the opportunity in this day and age for surrendering one's senses to Krishna is by way of the Sankirtan movement of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, tapo divyam yena putraka sattvam shuddhayat brahmasokyam tvanantam. By surrendering the senses in the service to the Lord, Maharaj Rishabhdev declares, one will be able to taste this Brahma Sukha, this transcendental happiness.
Maharaj Rishabhdev říká, že odevzdání v smyslu ve službě Pána budeme schopni prožívat Brahma Sukha, radost.
And in this way, one becomes empowered to spread Krishna consciousness throughout even this most hellish and degraded society of today. So Vidura is asking Maitreya that people everywhere are engaging in this karma sukha in order to find happiness, but instead they're only aggravated, he uses this term, they're only aggravated, only that means they only become more and more dissatisfied by their activities.
Zde Vidura říká, že každý v tomto světě touží pouze po plodovostných činnostech, ale místo aby takto získal štěstí, ale je pouze tímto roztrpčen.
And so the verse ends with a statement, Yadatra yuktam bhagavan vidinna. Please, therefore, give us directions on how one should live for real happiness.
Verš končí slovy, dej nám prosím pokyny, jak má člověk žít pro skutečné štěstí.
The word yuktam, as you see in the last line, is translated the right course. Yukta also means to be connected. It is a form of the word yoga. To be connected to the Supreme Lord.
Yukta také je forma slova yoga, neboli spojení s pánem, být spojení s pánem.
So this is a very brilliant indication in this verse that the right course to attain happiness means yukta, means to become connected to Krishna.
To je velice brilliantní nasměrování v tomto verši, že správný směr znamená být spojený s Krishnou.
Also there's the term yukta vairagya. Yukta vairagya means real renunciation, or in other words, renunciation that is accomplished through connecting everything to Krishna.
Existuje další termín yukta vairagya, což znamená pravé odříkání, nebo odříkání, které je spojeno s Krishnou.
That this is not my body, it is Krishna's body.
Toto není moje tělo, je to Krishnovo tělo.
The Mayavadis, the impersonalists, they come to the point of saying, I am not the body.
Mayavadini, oni impersonalisté, docházejí k bodu, kdy říkají, já nejsem toto tělo.
But although theoretically they think that way, they're unable to give up the embodied activities.
Ačkoliv takto teoreticky uvažují, nejsou schopni vzdát se.
Because the body is imposed upon the soul by higher power. The Mayavadi, according to their philosophy, Mayavadis take it that we have the body by our own choice, and just by changing our mind we can just give it up, liberate ourselves by a slight adjustment of mentality.
Mayavadi, oni mají tu teorii, že dostali tělo vlastně výběrem a mohou to změnit změnou vědomí.
But no, that's not a fact. We have to complete the equation. I am not the body, this body belongs to Krishna.
Ale to není skutečnost, to není pravda. Ta rovnice znamená, my nejsme toto tělo a toto tělo patří Krishnovi.
So we give the body back to Krishna in devotional service. And when the body becomes an instrument for Sri Krishna's devotional service, then lusty desires cannot remain. So this is yukta vairagya, perfect renunciation. The renunciation of impersonalists who do not know the real function, real purpose of the body, it is called palgu vairagya. It is very insignificant renunciation, easily broken. So it is now 9 o'clock, so I will end the class here. Are there any questions? Yes.
Why is also the sometimes renunciation of the world is broken, although it is
then it cannot be real yukta vairagya. Someone asked Srila Prabhupada, if our purpose is to serve Krishna, why is Maya so strong? Prabhupada said, his answer was, because your purpose is not strong. So one is actually yukta, on the right path, actually has engaged himself fully in Krishna's service, then his renunciation will not be broken, like Srila Haridas Thakur. He was performing Sankirtan, Samak, complete Kirtan.
Kirtan.
196 rounds every day. So we cannot imitate that. But yet we have been provided by the grace of Srila Prabhupada a way that we may also perform Sankirtan. We simply have to follow the plan of Prabhupada for propagating Krishna consciousness throughout this society. In Prabhupada's plan, there are three aspects. Hari Nam Sankirtan, book distribution, and prasadam distribution. So if we dedicate ourselves fully to one, two, or three, doesn't matter. But if one commits oneself wholeheartedly to Prabhupada's plan of spreading Krishna consciousness through society, that is samak, that is total dedication to Krishna's mission. And then one will attain yukta vairagya. But when we remain on the mental platform, in other words, we're trying externally to be Sankirtan devotees, but if the mind, the elephant, if his nose is still sniffing for that female elephant, then one may fall into the trap. Yes.
You said that if you are preaching to people that for their independence and about hell, that they actually want to go to hell, but to them, to people today, preaching to them some solution. Because generally we want to tell them
that we go to hell. Yes. Well, the answer you find in this question of Vidura. And he says that the people of this world are engaging in karma because they want happiness. But they do not attain happiness. They simply become more and more agitated. So they have to be shown the yukta, the right path. So Srila Prabhupada used to say, example is more important than precept. Precept means instruction. Yes. You may instruct someone. If you do these sins, you will go to hell. But if they don't see an example of an actual happy way of life, because after all, they just want to be happy. So if they can actually see what real happiness is, then they will follow the instruction. But if there's only instruction from some, you know, grim-looking Puritan, "Don't go to hell," then they're not inspired to change their behavior. Now that doesn't mean, all right, don't tell anyone they'll go to hell. It doesn't mean that either. But it means that example is more important than precept. The example must be there. And then you can say, just see, this is such a happy, simple life. Why don't you take it up? If you don't take it up, you'll go to hell. That's very reasonable. All right. So I think the plan is for Harinam at what time? Starting? I heard yesterday 10 o'clock. Maybe leaving at 10 o'clock? Okay. So sometime this morning we'll have all of us the opportunity to try for this samak, this total absorption in Harinam Sankirtan, this aspect of the Sankirtan mission. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Sri Krishna Sankirtan ki jai. Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bo.